Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Gopremanandi. Tonight we'll finish chapter 29 of Canto 10. First chapter of the Rasa Panchadaya, description of the Rasa Lila. Anyone remember any points from last week in our discussion? Any points? A bit hard to concentrate, but what can we do? Can't just go and stop them. Okay. Any other points? Okay. Everyone's stunned in silence.
Why are they doing this?
What's that?
Why are they doing this?
What's that?
No.
Kirtan. Okay. So this is tonight we'll continue, finish the chapter. Which verse was that? 42. It's 42. Half a minute concentration is a key of my life. Anyway, what can we do? At the end of it, go up and find it. They're still going when we finish. Go and find out who it is. They tell me so tonight, tomorrow night, I can at least ask them not to. Yeah, it's probably been done, can't done, those devotees. Anyway. Shukadev Goswami said, smiling upon hearing these despondent words from the gopis, Lord Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them. Although he is self-satisfied. So, in this verse, it is saying that Krishna was testing the gopis. By his words, he made them despondent. He called them to come. Brinda, go and sit down and do something. Okay. He called them to come. But then once they came, then he said, why are you here? So he made them completely despondent. So he's caused a great deal of pain in their heart. Now, one of the reasons that Krishna has done this, as we've described, is because he wanted to break their mood. Because their mood was that they were very shy, and Krishna wanted to destroy the shyness. He wanted to bring out their natural bhav, or their spontaneous attraction to him. So he wanted to see them become very aggressive in their love for him, because the lover, he feels satisfied when the female is aggressive, and also the female feels satisfied when the male is aggressive. So Krishna is like this, a supreme male. So he wants to see the gopis aggressive, and the gopis, they want to see Krishna aggressive. So Krishna is playing like that. So he's made them despondent, so that they will become aggressive for him and towards him. So here it is saying that he was smiling. So Krishna is playing with everyone.
Mm-hmm. All the way.
Yeah, he's churning everyone's emotions. That is his nature. And as I said to you, I think, in the last few weeks, that if you want to develop a relationship with Krishna, you have to accept this nature of his. If you want with Krishna the person, not Krishna just the Godhead figure, but actually the Prince of Braj, if your bhakti develops to that level, where you actually personally want to meet the son of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Nandana, Vrajendra Nandana, then you have to understand his nature. Everyone has a personality. So if you want to get to know someone, anyone, you have to understand their personality. If you understand the personality, then you can get to know that person. So if you want to get to know Krishna, the Acharyas point out, you have to accept his nature. And his nature is that he is a Dhira Lalita personality. Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna has four types of personalities: Dhira Lalita, Dhirodatta, and what's the?
Dhira
Prashanta. Yeah, very good. So he has these four types of personalities. So you have to understand, because particularly when Krishna's in Vrindavan, his mood is Dhira Lalita, which means he's very playful and very charming. That is his personality type. You should not be late. You should be on time. You're okay, but you should not be late. So that is his charming, witty, playful, also whimsical nature. He's like that. So we must understand Krishna's mood in relationship to the gopis. In relationship to enjoying them. So he's smiling in order to increase their rasa and their inclination to respond to him, and ultimately to invoke some anger in them. He wants them to come out and break their shyness and chastise them. And so he's smiling. And just like when someone's annoying you and they're smiling, it tends to get to you. Someone's doing something and then they sit back and they just smile, then you become more disturbed. Is it true? You do that sometimes? Yeah, we all do it, right? There's nothing better than when you're annoying someone, you know you're getting to them, and then you start smiling. We all do it. It's part of personality. It's part of individuality. It's in God himself. God does it. So we all do it. I do it. Yeah. It's very, very satisfying. Someone's disturbed and you smile. And it's very satisfying. So it's in all of us. Krishna does it. It originates in Krishna. So he does that to the gopis. He knows he's made them despondent. Now he's smiling and now they're becoming a little more angry with him.
Rasaraj.
Yeah, Rasaraj. So, the supreme masters of mystic yoga, he mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. So we have described this particular point, that he is described here as being Atmarama. So it is described previously in the Bhagavatam and throughout the philosophy, God is Atmarama. But Krishna is not Atmaram. You have to understand that point. And we've described this already. He is not Atmarama. He is not self-satisfied. He's self-satisfied. Why does he invite 3 billion gopis to come? What's the necessity? If he's happy just sitting on a lotus flower by himself in the middle of an ocean, sometimes you see pictures of Krishna. Someone paints him and he's in the middle of an ocean sitting on a lotus. Then that's not Krishna. Prabhupada says that. Krishna is always with devotees. So being with devotees, he's only satisfied when he's with other devotees. Now the Acharyas point out that Radha and Krishna, technically, they are one, but they are different. Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you study the Adi Lila, chapters 3, especially chapter 4, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains this in detail. For the purpose of Leela, Radha and Krishna are separated eternally. But in one sense, they're one. In one sense. Eternally, they're different. So they're one and they're different. And even if you listen, there's a lecture by Prabhupada, a famous lecture, where Prabhupada says in the lecture, he says, the devotee says to Prabhupada, they ask the question, who is Radha, who is Radharani? And Prabhupada says, she is Krishna. Prabhupada says that, that's how he answers. She is Krishna, right? So she is Krishna, but we also know she is not Krishna. Shakti, Shaktiman. You know, it's not a Mayavad impersonalistic understanding. Yeah, we all know this. You have to understand this deeply, and we all know it. They are one, but they are different. So we have to understand. So Krishna, is, when we say he's Atmaram, you can say, yes, he's Atmaram, because he's enjoying with himself, because Radharani is himself. So we can say, okay, he's Atmaram. He's self-satisfied, because he's only enjoying with himself, his own energy. But technically, he's not Atmaram, because they are different, and they're eternally exchanging. Is it clear? Okay. So we need to understand these points. No. Because we always say God is Atmaram. But if he's Atmaram, then why is he with all the devotees? Why do we exist if he is Atmaram? Hmm. So, he is the only person in the creation in this particular verse. The Sanskrit says, Yoga, Ishwara, Ishwara. What does that mean? Yogeshwara, Ishwara. What does that mean? Lord of all mystic powers. Right? So Lord of all mystic powers. So Krishna is the only person who can satisfy everyone individually and separately and simultaneously. That is his potency. No one else can do that. Even if your name is Yogeshwara. You know. And I think you do a pretty good job. Yeah. I do, yeah. I have great respect for your ability to satisfy many people. But we know there's not none of us. None of us. No one. Even I mean there's no one except Krishna who can satisfy everyone perfectly. There isn't anyone. Who can do that? Only Krishna can satisfy everyone simultaneously and absolutely. Right? Now how powerful do you have to be to do that? How much potency must be emanating from that person? How attractive must that person be to have that potency and ability that he is simultaneously attractive to every individual eternally and absolutely? Right? That's immense power. That's Yogeshwara. Ishwara means controller. It means he controls us, all of us. You either accept his control or you don't, but the fact is we're all controlled. Just like the last 3-4 days I've been sick. I won't describe to you the details of the sickness, but so I don't get sick often. It's one of the sickest stuff experiences I've had for a long time. Right, my body's doing very strange things. I'll explain my intimate friends later. I won't say publicly what it's been doing. But, you know, and I have no control of that whatsoever. I'm just sitting back and enjoying the ride. It's just, you know, because whether you accept, if you accept Krishna's control, you go to the spiritual world and you enjoy with him unlimitedly. If you don't accept Krishna's control, you know, someone like me who's conditioned and still does not fully surrender to him, then you're controlled by Krishna in the shape of his material energy. So take your choice. Right? You're either controlled by him directly or indirectly. But either way, you're controlled. Right? At the time of death, either you surrender to him, you put your head down, right, and you bow to him independently and willfully, or at the time of death, you put your head on the ground and you bow to him. It's the same thing. So everyone's controlled by him. It's the same. He is Ishwara, means the controller. So he controls all the gopis willingly. They willingly accept his control. And the conditioned souls reject his control. But either way. Now, why is it, as we said, that he wants to... why is he smiling when he's speaking to them? Why does the Bhagavatam say he smiles?
Break the barrier?
Yeah. What is he doing? Huh? Why is he smiling?
Teasing them.
Teasing them, very good. Yeah, he's the only one here who understands that. All these guys, they don't have any idea what's going on.
Very good, he's teasing them.
Nothing to do with Vrinda.
What's that?
Nothing.
Nothing to do with Prema.
No, nothing to do with Vrinda.
Nothing to do with Vrinda. Yeah, right. So, why is it that he's smiling? He wants to invoke anger. Right. Now, of all the gopis, there are two camps. What are the two camps of gopis? Chandravali and Radharani, right? So one is called left wing, one is called right wing. Who is left? Radharani. She's always on his left, right? Whenever you see her, she's always on his left, right? And who is the right wing? Chandravali. Now he's called out all of them together, right? So there's a reason for that. He's called them all out. He wants to dance with them all. He wants to satisfy all their desires. But there's two distinct camps of kams. Right? Left wing have a very different mood to the right wing, right? But they're all there, and he has to act in such a way to break down the barriers between them and unite them, which you'll see as the pastime unfolds. He begins to do. He's creating solidarity between them. He wants them all to be united, right? So he's rejected all of them, right? So now they're all coming together. Right? They're saying, "Well, you've been rejected. I've been rejected. let us, get back towards this person." So, what is the nature of the left wing gopis?
Loving.
They're all loving. Everyone loves Krishna. Nature of the left wing is they are unsubmissive. The nature of the right wing is they are submissive. Chandravali is submissive to Krishna. Right? Radharani is unsubmissive to Krishna. But it's said that Radharani's temperament specifically is madhya, or like medium unsubmissive. Lalita, her best friend, is like the topmost of the unsubmissive. That's like the highest level of unsubmissiveness towards Krishna. So they're all different ranges. Radharani is like medium. She's unsubmissive, but she doesn't go probably too far. But Lalita just, she will not like that. So now he's smiling because now he wants to invoke them all. But especially he's trying to extract from the left-wing gopis. Because of the two camps, he prefers the left-wing mood. Because they're unsubmissive. Like Krishna gets more pleasure. Chandravali is almost as beautiful as Radharani. She's almost as qualified as Radharani. But the mood is different, and Krishna prefers Radharani for that reason. Because her mood is unsubmissive. It gives him greater pleasure. So what is the mentality of the right-wing gopis? They think, I belong to Krishna. Right? That's the mood of a chaste wife should think like that. A chaste wife should think, I belong to my husband. Right? That's like every husband's dream. But it doesn't really exist very often. You see, 1 in 20 men maybe they get something like that, but it's pretty rare. But the left-wing gopis, right around in her camp, they think Krishna belongs to me. Right? So it's a different mentality. Right? They don't think that... Their mentality is that Krishna will be submissive to me. Krishna will submit to me and he will do what we desire. Whereas Chandravali thinks that we will submit to Krishna and we will do what he desires. Right? So it's a different mentality. So Krishna is especially wanting to invoke the left-wing gopis. So he's smiling, because they don't like that. They don't like it when he gets a superior role. And you see, all the pastimes in Vrindavan is continually a competition. There's a very competitive nature between Krishna and the gopis about who will become the superior personality, who will make the other submissive. Krishna is always doing pastimes to defeat the gopis, and the gopis doing the same pastimes to defeat. And Krishna very much enjoys being defeated by the gopis. He enjoys it. Sometimes they humiliate him quite badly. But he knows the next day he's going to get them all back. So it's an intense competition between them. And it creates rasa, and it gives great pleasure to Krishna and the gopis. So many pastimes. Maybe if time allows, we'll tell some of the pastimes. So that is why Krishna is smiling in this verse, because he's trying to invoke them. He's trying to... he has several reasons why he's doing it, but mainly he's trying to bring the gopis to the point where they will respond to him. So, any points?
In this verse...
Yeah.
Should there be some saying Hare Pranam again?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have heard so many pastimes about Radharani and Krishna, Lalita and Krishna as well. But we haven't heard about Chandravani and Krishna's pastimes. So, what are the pastimes between Chandravani and Krishna?
We don't speak about them.
And
a real follower of Radharani wouldn't have even asked such a question. Any other? I guess who are the six Goswamis of Vrindavan? Wait, but yeah, the six Goswamis are who? In the spiritual world, who are they? But who are they specifically? Yeah, but who are they? So Rupa Goswami is the head of all of the Goswamis, right? We're Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas. So in the spiritual world, he's Rupa Mandri. So he's Radharani's closest maidservant. So he's not going to write about Chandravali. Right? Raghunath Das Goswami, who is Rati Mandri, who is the very intimate associate of Srimati Radharani. She can't even hear Chandravali's name. That's how... She's very fiery. You know, there's even that pastime where Raghunath Das, every day he would only drink one cup of chach, buttermilk. So then one devotee used to bring every day one leaf cup. So he went to Sakistali, which is down from Radhakund, and he got some big leaves, made some big leaf cup. He think, well, he's only having buttermilk, so I'll get some big leaves, make some big cup. So he brought, and then he gave to Raghunath Das. And he said, oh, the cup is very big. He said, where did you get the leaves from? He said, Sakistali. Walked into his bhajan kundra and shut the door. Like this. Because this is, Sakistali is Chandravali's place. So he just heard Sakistali, which is Chandravali's place. He just threw the leaf on there. He wouldn't even drink out of the cup. No? That's prema. So you should not even mention Chandravali's name in this class. She calls herself a student of Bhakti Vedanta. But when we actually have love for Radha, then yeah, that's how it feels. They're so intense to their attachment to Radha. Rati Manjari, Raghunath Das, is more attached to Radha even than Krishna. Even more than Krishna, she's attached to Radharani. So they can't even, her competitors, they can't even hear. That's why Chandravali is not written about. They'll never write about Chandravali. And there's obviously no one who's come, who is a follower of Chandravali who's written about. Maybe there's something that I've never heard of, descriptions. Any other points?
Yeah, it is all right for Krishna to smile if somebody is upset. But in normal life, people shouldn't smile.
It's up to you. I do it all the time.
But it annoys you good.
That's why I do it.
That's not very good in a family life.
Yeah, it's not very good, but I do it. My wife doesn't like it, but I do it to her.
One should be kind.
Yeah, but it's boring. If you're going to get married, you've got to at least have some enjoyment.
Enjoyment.
Yeah, there's no real enjoyment in the material world. So at least, you know, make everything unpleasant, so then it becomes enjoyable. But we all do that too. We do it all to each other all the time. You know, sometimes you do something and you smile. And you know, that's part of life.
Okay.
Makes life sweeter. It is called meti pak.
What?
Meti pak. What is meti? Bitter, right? What's it called? Meti?
Fenugreek,
right? So they have a sweet, but it's got bitter in it. So then it becomes more relishable. Meti pak. So that's rasa. Rasa means something is sweet, but then you put in some bitter. It makes it sweeter, it makes it more relishable. Krishna is like that. Krishna's pastimes are the sweetest, but he throws in some bitter to make it all. You'll see the next three chapters, he drives everyone mad.
Listen to Krishna's pastimes and relish, but you should not follow him.
Yeah, follow him as long as you don't get in trouble, that's all. Follow to the point where you're allowed to follow to.
Okay.
It means don't imitate him, but you can have some fun. It's okay. Have fun.
So, if we want to develop a relationship, then we have to accept the nature of Krishna. Is there a big
word
for
the
Madhurya or is it any other process?
What is it?
Like, if we have to accept the nature of Krishna.
Yeah, I understand that.
Only for
the Madhurya,
Krishna reacts in a different way.
No, all these relationships. Yeah. In all the rasas.
Krishna is self-satisfied because he possesses all the anesthetics. But what about devotee? When a devotee becomes self-satisfied, what does self-satisfied from the perspective of devotee?
Hamaran just means you're peaceful, that's all. Devotee should be equipoised, sama. That's all. Yeah. Just be peaceful. Don't be crazy in your mind. So be peaceful. That's all it means. Amaram is it? You're just peaceful. You know, like Banu Swami? He was just here. You saw him. Okay, so that's Amaram. He's peaceful. You look at him. You ever see Banu Swami upset? You ever see him unhappy like this? I've known him a long time. I never see him like all over the place. He's not like that. He's always the same. Every time you see him, the same. Okay. Any points? Okay. Among the assembled gopis, the infallible Lord Krishna appeared just like the moon, surrounded by stars. He whose activities are so magnanimous made their faces blossom with his affectionate glances, and his broad smiles revealed the effulgence of his jasmine bud-like teeth. Jagannath Ramprabhu, can you please read the purport?
The word Achyuta here indicates that Lord Krishna did not fail to give pleasure to each and every gopi in the
northern lesson. So any points there?
Now he says, Master, Mystic Yogi. Apparently, all the gopis are literally yogis who are Master Mystic Yoga anyway. He's the Master of all masters. He's actually saying he's giving pleasure to each one of them, even though they're the most mystic and the best of devotees.
Yep. Anything else?
Achyuta means he doesn't do anything wrong, right?
Yeah.
So it means because he was with the gopis, and he gave them pleasure. It was wrong in the mundane sense, but it was okay for him.
Yeah, because he is absolute. So, whenever in the Bhagavatam a particular name of Krishna is used, it is not random. Right? It's not that Shukadeva Goswami just thinks, oh, in this verse I'll call him Govinda, next verse I call him Gopina, next verse I call him Gopal. Right? It's not random. He chooses it very carefully, meticulously. There's a deep meaning behind each name. Same in Bhagavad Gita, right? One of the first names that Krishna is called within the Bhagavad Gita is Achyutya. What is that verse? First chapter? How does it begin? It's not coming in my head. The Achyutya. Yeah, but what's that? Draw my chariot between the two armies.
How
does it begin? Ratham stapayam mechuta. What's the first line? Senayo ubiyo madye. Ratham stapayam mechuta. Okay, that's good. Yeah, so he says in that verse, he says, Achyutya, right? Infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies. So what is Krishna saying to Arjuna? What is Arjuna saying to Krishna? Right? He's saying to Krishna, you are infallible. I know that you will not let me down. Right? Basically, even in this first verse, in the first chapter of the Gita, there's really no philosophy. There's a few points which come up as to why Arjuna excuses himself from having to fight the war. There's no real philosophy. Krishna never speaks anything profound in the first chapter. But actually, if you just understand that one word, that one verse, in the first chapter of the Gita, you've basically understood the entire Bhagavad Gita. Right? Because what is the whole Bhagavad Gita to prove? Or what is the whole Bhagavad Gita teaching us? God is infallible. God will not let us down. God will become the chariot driver, Parthasarathi, the servant of his devotee. If you understand that, you just understood the whole Bhagavad Gita. You don't have to read the rest. Right? We just read the rest because we don't understand the first point. But that's actually the whole point of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Right? Mahaprabhu goes to South India, right? Meets the Brahmana, and the Brahmana's illiterate. He can't read, and he's looking at the front cover. And what's on the front cover? The picture, right? And he's crying. And Lord Chaitanya says, why are you crying? Right? And the Brahmana says, because God is driving Arjuna, he's bhakta, bhakta bhatsala. And Lord Chaitanya embraces him. He said, you understand it all. He said, but I can't read. He said, but you understand it all. You have tears in the eyes, which is the whole goal. You understand the whole thing. So if you understand this word which is being said here, this is the infallible Lord standing in front of all of them. He called them out here in the night. He's not going to reject them, right? Because of his personality, he can't help himself. So he gets them all out there and he says, okay, now everyone go back, right? And he just stirs everything up, right? But there's no hope that he's going to reject any of them, right? He'll never reject anyone. Right? He's called everyone out there. Right? Everyone's arrived. Right? And the way he speaks, because there's two meanings to every verse, right? He's saying that you should not leave and make sure you stay here. And Vrindavan is the safest place. Is it a big disturbance? Just throw your jumper on him or something. What is it? Yeah, it's water. Just throw something on it. Put your chatter on it or something. Don't worry about it. Don't get distracted. There's some water. So, this is the name. He's actually saying, stay here. I will give you shelter. Because he's a chutya. But we have to understand his personality. Of course he's going to say that. But they all get there and he says, oh, I'm so glad you all came. that's not Krishna. That's not Krishna. Right? Who is that? Who would speak like that? Okay? Maybe Lord Ram would speak like that. Right? What day is Ram Navami? Wednesday. Okay, so you look at Lord Ram's pastime. If you want a perfect person, you look at Lord Ram. Okay? Lord Ram is, everything is Mayada avatar, means the perfect human being. Perfect son, perfect husband, perfect father, everything. That perfect king, that's Lord Ram. That's why Krishna manifests as Ram, to show us this is how you should be. But Krishna's not like that. So they get there, of course he's going to protect them. He is Ram, he's the source of Ram. Of course he's going to protect them, but there's going to be a lot of fun on the way. There's going to be a lot of dear Lalita, playfulness on the way.
Perfect fighter. Ram, perfect fighter, the Raman.
Yeah, perfect fighter. Everything. Yeah, Lord Ramachandra is amazing. But Krishna's personality is different. So we have to understand.
And he's telling them to go back, and at the same time he's saying the stars are nice, the Yamuna River is nice, all the surroundings are beautiful.
Yeah. So you should stay.
Yeah.
Very good. Any points? Okay. As the gopis sang his praises, that leader of hundreds of women sang loudly in reply. He moved among them, wearing his Vaijayanti garland, beautifying the Vrindavan forest. Nila Gopa, can you read the purport?
According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Lord Krishna sang many wonderful arrangements and papers. And the gopis, accompanied by him, following his lead, Krishna's singing on this occasion is described in the Srila Purana. Krishna sang the glories of the autumn moon, the moonshine and the lotus tree flowers. While the gopis simply sang his name repeatedly.
Any points there?
What is meters?
What is it?
Melodies and meters.
Means the length of the notes and those things. So Krishna, what is taking place in this pastime? In this verse, what is being described? What do we call it? Rasalila, yeah, but specifically which is being glorified right in this verse. Right? What's going on upstairs right now? Sankirtan. Congregational chanting together. So now, to increase everyone's pleasure, they begin to sing together. You see, in the material world, nothing is more pleasurable, and Prabhupada says this, the most pleasurable thing in the material world is when young boys and young girls come together and they all sing together and dance together. You see every Bollywood movie, right? Right, they're out in the middle of nowhere, and the next minute, you know, and people appear and everyone starts dancing, and you're thinking, you know, what's going on? Right, and then next week it's a whole thing, then everyone disappears, and then it continues on again. Because nothing is higher. In the Prabhupada says that there's nothing higher than when boys and girls come together and sing and dance. But Prabhupada says, do you want the reality or do you want the illusion? Do you want to dance with the girls in this world or the boys in this world? Or do you want to go to the real world where you can dance with Krishna in his eternal pleasure pastimes? But that's free from lust. So there's adhika. If you want to go there, you have to be free from lust. Not easy. So this is what is being described here, Sankirtan. So to increase the pleasure, he starts singing very beautifully. Right? When Krishna sings, it is the most... Who is the best singer in the creation? Krishna. Right? He's the best. So when he sings, it is the supreme singing. He begins to describe the nature of the night, the nature of the forest, the nature of the Jamuna, right? And it is the most captivating, the most beautiful, right? And then the gopis, they respond to Krishna. They begin to sing also. And they throw his names, present his names in all of the songs which they compose. And they say, he has done this. He is the killer of Agasura. He is the, and they create beautiful part. And this whole Leela is going on. So it is a Leela Sankirtan. Where they're describing his pastimes as going on. And it is the most beautiful, captivating. Most enchanting. So you can imagine it. If you meditate on it, then maybe Krishna will give you some revelation or some understanding of it. And it will attract us away from this material world. If you become attracted to these pastimes, you'll lose your attraction to the material world. And if you don't become attracted to these pastimes, you'll never become attracted. Lose your attraction to this material energies. Any points?
Well, I'm just wondering, see, Lord Krishna was describing the glories of autumn moon, moonshine, and the river and everything. Then how can the gopis be singing his name and maybe they're not listening to him? How can they do it together? I would think that they're not just listening to his song.
No, it's more pleasurable when they do things together.
But he's doing something and they're doing something.
Together, singing together. Have you ever seen one of the Bollywood films?
No.
Never saw a Bollywood film? What?
Okay. You will criticize me if I do.
Probably, yeah. In the Bollywood films, the boys and the girls, they sing together. And it becomes more sweet. If just the boy is singing, or just the girl is singing, it's not as sweet. So.
Usually when somebody sings, the other one listens, and then they sing.
Yeah, so in Krishna's pastimes, it goes like that, and then sometimes they sing together,
okay.
And sometimes
okay.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Sri Krishna went with the gopis to the bank of the Jamuna, where the sand was cooling and the wind, enlivened by the river's waves, bore the fragrance of lotuses. There Krishna threw his arms around the gopis and embraced them. He aroused Cupid in the beautiful young ladies of Braj by touching their hands, hair, thighs, belts, and breasts, by playfully scratching them with his fingernails, and also by joking with them, glancing at them, and laughing with them. In this way, the Lord enjoyed his pastimes. So, in the purport Krishna Chakravarti Thakur describes, the nature of Krishna is that Krishna is unlimited. Because every gopi, it now describes them going into the forest, right? Remember we said there's four paths to Rasa Leela? What are the four paths to the Rasa Leela? Very good.
Wandering
in the forest.
Entering the Kunjas.
And then entering into the Kunjas, very good. So those, they're the four paths. Everyone knows the four paths? You should know. Jamuna would have written them in the notes. You'll have to study. Okay, so the water pastimes. Right quickly. Right. Joel Kaylee. The Rasa Leela itself, the dancing. You got it?
Joel
Kaylee. I'm not going over it six times. What was the other one?
Wandering
in the forest when they're wandering. Like in this verse describes that. And what was the other one? intimate, loving, amorous pastimes in the kunjas, private, like that. So this one's describing the wandering through the forest. Now what is extraordinary, and this is why we cannot imitate Krishna, because Krishna, you can say, oh, Krishna's with the girls and he's doing this, and people may criticize him, but the acharyas point out every girl thinks that he's just with them. And every girl thinks that she is the most fortunate, he's only with me. So how is that possible? And how many are there? 3 billion. How many people is that? Right, think about it, seriously. How many people on Earth right now? 7 billion people, right, is the population of the Earth. So there's 3 billion gopis and 3 billion Krishnas. That means everyone on Earth, on the bank of the Jamuna, you've been there, it's not that big. Right, Kumbh Mela gets 20 million people. Now we're talking about 6 billion, right, in one place. And yet, everyone still thinks it's private. And every gopi thinks that Krishna is just with them. So we're dealing with something
extraordinary.
Yeah, so don't criticize, that's the point. Acharya is pointing, if you actually understand Krishna, you'll just worship him. Right? You know, and if you think it's mythology, then that's your maya keeping you away. And if you can't understand, if you envy him, you'll say, well, you know, why is he doing that? But if you understand who he is, you'll just worship him. So Krishna is unlimited, right? And the place where Krishna is performing his leela is called... What's the name of that place where Krishna lives? Yeah, Braj, Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is also unlimited. Why? Because Vrindavan can facilitate any pastime that Krishna performs. So Vrindavan is his own energy. Vrindavan is an expansion of? Yeah, Baladev. Right? So Baladev, desiring to serve Krishna, what does Baladev do? Right? Expands. So Krishna says, okay, I'm bringing 3 billion tonight. And Balaram says, okay, we'll just make it bigger. There you go. What's the problem? Mm-hmm. Right? We already heard when he lived to Govardhan Hill, what did Govardhan Hill do? Giriraj went, what did it say in the purport? It said 21 kilometers or something. It said something like that. 21 kilometers went, or 42, I can't remember what the figure was, but Giriraj said, okay, you're going to bring more cows on there. Giriraj said, okay, let's get bigger then. What's the problem? There's no problem in the spiritual world. No? What was that book that Shruti Kirti Prabhu wrote about Prabhupada? What is the difficulty? So if you go to Goloka Vrindavan, what's on the front gate? As you walk in, there's a sign that says, what is the difficulty? You get there, what's the difficulty? There is no difficulty. So Vrindavan is as powerful as Krishna, because Vrindavan is Krishna's energy. Balaram himself creates Vrindavan. So if Krishna wants to have that many gopis, then Vrindavan manifests. And we'll see in the next few chapters when we're not hearing about the dancing yet. When the dancing starts, the descriptions are very amazing, what takes place. You know, to facilitate all of that, 3 billion gopis, 3 billion Krishnas, that's a lot to handle. It's like this Sunday down there at the farm, we're going to have the holi. Right? So all my time at the moment is just organizing this holi festival. Right? Just gives me a headache. Right? So I wish I was in the spiritual world, because then I could just say, Krishna, why don't we have a holy festival? And he just goes, okay. I just go, yeah, ecstatic. But down here, you have to do this. Bring money, Griva, bring the bins. And the whole hassle. Everything in the material world is difficult, and everything in the spiritual world is easy. Because the spiritual world is Krishna's energy. It's non-different from Vrindavan, is non-different from Krishna. So Vrindavan is unlimited and Krishna is unlimited.
This is a desire creating.
In the spiritual world?
Yeah. And everything goes with them so easy. One thing, was it 3 billion Krishna? I thought you told once that he walked so fast that he was with each gopi, but he was only one.
Yeah, the acharyas say both.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say he expands 3 billion times, and because we'll study that soon. And sometimes the acharyas say it was just one, but he was moving so quickly.
Yeah.
Looked like he was in 3 billion places at once.
Yeah.
Either way, it's
okay.
Only he can do it.
Unlimited.
Unlimited. Any other points? Okay. The gopis became proud of themselves for having received such special attention from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and each of them thought herself the best woman on earth. Sri Chaitanya.
The gopis were proud because they were attained as their lovers, the greatest of all personalities. So in a sense, they were proud of Krishna. Also, the pride of the gopis was the pretense created by Krishna's pastime potency in order to intensify their love for him through separation. In this connection, Shri Lakshmana Chakravarti quotes Bharat Muni's Natyashastra. Direct contact is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced.
Very good. So, what are the points there? The pride of the gopis is not material. You'll see all of us, when you get special attention from a senior devotee or your guru, right? You feel very proud, right? You feel special, right? You feel like, oh, I'm the special one. We all like it, right? That's why everyone competes so much to do the service and be the one and all those things like that. So there's some pride in us, but the gopis don't have that. They don't have that feeling. But by the arrangement of Yogamaya, she arranged and invoked them to have that feeling, right? Because this is going to increase the pleasure of the pastime. They started thinking, okay, you know, obviously, who are the most qualified women in the universe? The gopis, right? Because we're with Krishna. I don't see any queens of Dwarka here. I don't see any wives of demigods here. I don't see the girls of Mathura here. We're obviously the best. And there's so many of us here, but he's with me. So obviously out of all of them, looks like I'm the best. Yeah, so they're thinking like that. But it's in a pastime way. It's not that they don't have that kind of pride. They don't actually think like that. That's the way a conditioned soul thinks. This is Yogamaya's potency. It's like when Arjuna became bewildered in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna did that to him. He bewildered. Arjuna wouldn't have become bewildered. Arjuna knew exactly what needed to be done. But he got mental. Now, do you use that phrase sometimes?
Yeah.
Mental?
Yeah. Yes.
You use it sometimes? Yeah. The Western devotees use it a lot. I don't hear the Indian devotees say it so much, but the Western devotees, we say, oh, they're mental. You know what I mean? I mean, the mind's like crazy.
Yeah.
So you say, that devotee's mental. It's like, something going on in the mind today. You just look at their face, it's like, whoa, this person's mental. Right. So, Krishna did that to Arjuna. He covered him with Yogamaya. He made him bewildered so he could speak the Gita. Right. So, Yogamaya has made the gopis act in the way that they are proud, so that the next chapter, what will Krishna do?
Yes.
He disappears. Say, okay, well, you're going to be like that, then watch me. If you're going to be like, I don't like this, you think you're better than everyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. Now you're stuck in the forest by yourself. Yeah, and then they're, oh. But that increases their separation from Krishna. So once again, it's just to facilitate the pathway. So don't think that the gopis are actually proud. Right? Who is it that's actually proud? Okay? Keshav Das. It's us. We're the proud one. Not the gopis. This is just lila for them. So it appears that some pride was there, but it's not real. Their pride is spiritual. They are proud, but their pride is spiritual. Our pride is material. Because we get proud, but it's still very much egocentric, egotistic. So, any points? Okay, last verse. Lord Keshava, seeing the gopis too proud of their good fortune, wanted to relieve them of this pride and show them further mercy. Thus he immediately
disappeared.
That's intense. Such an intense person, this person. How could you ever leave ISKCON? You know. And my Guru Maharaj, Tomar Krishna Maharaj, one time he said, you know why the devotees leave ISKCON? Many reasons. He said, you know why they leave? He said, because they're not attached to Krishna. Because if you're attached to Krishna, you can't leave. Right? You can't leave.
That's true.
Because he's too attractive. You read this, I mean, how could you leave? Where are you going to go? You're going to go to that church on the corner that puts the nice signs out the front? You see the signs they put out the front, just down the road there?
I've never been able to understand this, ever.
Okay, well, I was going to say the opposite. I was going to say they're very good signs. I like them. I use them all the time. They're too high for you, but they're very good signs. But I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to walk in there and sit there, and the priest is going to say, oh, you know, whatever they say in there. They got nothing to say. They don't know anything about God. You know, this is God. And when you relish this, how could you leave Krishna? Not possible. So.
But I heard that if you see Krishna once, I mean, if you will join Krishna, Hare Krishna, then somehow you will come back.
Yeah, of course you'll come back, but why waste time?
Well, some people do, but they won't go very far.
Some people do. Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu, just read the purport.
The word prasadaya here is significant. Lord Krishna was not going to attack the gopis. Rather, he would increase the power of their loving affairs by making element spectacular arrangements. After all, the gopis were basically proud of Krishna. He also made this arrangement, as we shall see, to show special favor to the beautiful young daughter of King Vrishabha.
Okay, so. When Krishna makes your life difficult, what is that called? In Sanskrit. Prasad. Okay. How do you like prasad? How do you like it? Look what he does to us. Sometimes I say to him, I say, do you really like me? I say, do you really like me? You're supposed to be my best friend. The stuff you do to me, it's like, you know, but I can just hear it on the other side saying, this is prasad. How do you like it? So he will give you prasad. Prasad means?
Mercy.
Mercy. So sometimes we like the nice prasad, but when he gives you the other prasad, like he's doing here to the gopi, but it's prasad because he's increasing their attachment. That's what prasad means. Prasad means when it increases your attachment to Krishna. That is prasad. That is mercy. Right? Why is everyone in this movement? Right? You join for prasad. Right? Everyone joined for it. If the food wasn't there, Prabhupada said, he said in 1966, 67, he said they weren't coming to hear my lecture, they were coming because I was feeding them at the end of it. Right? That's why everyone comes, for prasad. If it wasn't for the prasad, we wouldn't turn up day after day after day. But then the prasad that we really want and we really need to become attached to is the way Krishna deals with us. And that means he handles us roughly by his embrace, or makes us brokenhearted by not being present before him. Still, he is our Lord. That's prasad. Right. Now, it says here, this is leading into the next chapter, he wanted to show the supremacy of one particular gopi. What was her name? Radhika. She hasn't come out. She doesn't actually come out very much. Sukadeva Goswami is hiding her. But the acharyas speak about her. But she's being hidden. So her supreme position, because he leaves, he says, everyone is too proud, but one person is not. I'll take her by myself. Right? That's what the next chapter is about, just the two of them. Right? So it becomes very intimate. You follow God, and you find out who God's favorite is out of everyone. And then once you get out into the forest with the two of them, he leaves her as well. So it's very interesting how he deals, and you're getting an inside look into God's heart right here. And why does he favor her? Because she is the leader of the left wing gopis, and the left wing gopis are his favorite because they're unsubmissive, right? Because she will not. She is happy when he bows down to her feet. Not because she wants him, she thinks, oh, you know, I want to be, no. But she knows that will give him more pleasure. Right? And sometimes he has to do it. Sometimes he has to cry on her feet to break her man. What does man mean?
Right.
Yeah, jealous anger. Not like anger like we say anger, but like a jealous anger. Right? But she won't talk to him. You know, and you know the past time? I've told the past time, I think, in the last 6 months or something. You know when there's a place called Manga, Vashana. I told you the past time. He has to dress up as a girl. And then he has to go there. Right? And he's massaging her feet. Navamanjari, massaging her feet. And as soon as she feels the touch, she says, okay, it's him. Right? And he massages for some time. Right? And then she says that the Nava Manjari, the new Manjari, is doing very good service. Reward her. Give her fresh clothes. So then she gets up and says, I have to go now. And she starts to walk out. And all the gopis grab. And he says, no, Lalita, take off all her clothes and put on fresh clothes. She deserves it. So they unbutton her choli, right? And they pull off the choli, and then two big mangoes fall out, right? And Krishna's very embarrassed, and all the gopis just laugh. And Radharani, she smiles, but she looks away. Right? And then Krishna falls down on her feet, and he holds her feet on her head, and he's crying. He says, Radha, forgive me. Right? And then finally she smiles, and she breaks her mind like that. But the pastime takes place so that he has to bow down to her feet, to break it, because that will give him happiness. So she's serving him in that way. She knows. So she gives unlimited pleasure to Krishna. By being unsubmissive, he gives Krishna greater pleasure. These are the highest pastimes of God. So we have no qualification to study this, to hear this, to meditate on this, but we pray one day we'll become qualified to have qualification to hear it, and maybe one day even serve in the spiritual world by Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.